time we have left, I'd like you to open your Bibles to Psalm 121. It struck me as an ideal psalm. I was going to do a series on church history, but it didn't seem so relevant with a corona. It is relevant, actually, but not immediately so. So I'm going to do selected psalms while we're under this, starting with Psalm 121. Should be familiar to many of you. It says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would make this psalm a comfort to us tonight, as it has so long been to so many. In Jesus' name, amen. Whenever I think of Psalm 121, I think of Camp Buckner and Beast Barracks. Those are locations at West Point when I was on the faculty there. And there are times when the West Point cadets will do very long marches. And sometimes they're like the 80-pound force march. And they're very weary, and they're discouraged. Their feet are dragging, their heads are down. And there's one place where there's a promontory that they always walk by. And it was something of a tradition now. It was started by a chaplain years ago. But the cadet chaplain will stand upon that hill. And as the cadet companies go by, he would call out, I lift up my eyes to the hill. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. A few years after I left the faculty of West Point, I read an article about a young lieutenant, a ranger lieutenant, who was holding one of his soldiers in his arms atop a high hill in Afghanistan. This was very early on, I think before we'd actually invaded even. And they were doing an action there, and one of his soldiers was bleeding in his arm, bleeding to death in his arms, did bleed to death. And they told the story how the young lieutenant was reading the words of Psalm 121, and it turns out he was one of our cadets who was in our Bible studies and was impacted by that. Now, Psalm 121 is a great comfort, and it tells us that when everything else has failed, whatever is excellent, that's what the hills are, whatever is excellent, whatever is praiseworthy, whatever we would normally look to for support, when they fail us, God does not fail. Soldiers look to high ground. That's a place of safety. We think of high medical centers at a time like this, hoping for a cure, a vaccine, tests. We should, but they will fail us in many cases. We think of the skyscrapers of industry or the high places of government power. They tend to fail, but God does not. When all else fails, the Lord is our helper and our keeper. Well, just a few comments about Psalm 121. It's often been called the Pilgrim's Psalm. You may note it says a song of ascents. Now, that would suggest that it's one of those psalms that the people of Israel would sing as they were gathering for the feast on the road to the temple in Jerusalem. And you may know that Jerusalem is surrounded by hills. And it may be that the idea of I lift up my eyes to the hills is in that case more of anticipation. I see the hills coming. That means I'm drawing nearer to the Lord because he's found on the hill. And we can think of them scuffling their feet, and they're tired, and they're dusty. But then Mount Zion comes into view, and they realize that their help is the Lord. That's one possible reason. One theory is that this was written in exile in Babylon. So they're looking far away to what they cannot see, and they're putting their hope there. But one thing is sure, that Christians in uncertainty and doubt and anxiety, ever since this psalm was written 3,000 years ago, that they have found their strength and their comfort in this psalm. David Livingston, it's recorded that when he departed for his famous missionary journeys, never to see his family again, they gathered together and they read Psalm 121. It's a psalm of hope and security for the pilgrims in this world. My old pastor, James Boyce, was a little boy. He was in sixth grade when his parents started sending him every year to boarding school. I personally would not have wanted to go to boarding school as a 12-year-old boy, and they were hard partings for him. But he remembers how impressed it was upon his soul when his mother and father would gather and they would read Psalm 121 every time that he would be leaving. Boyce himself wrote, "This is the faith of a trusting pilgrim that we see here." Now, this tells, the comfort that it gives is it tells that we have God as our keeper. Now, there are times when angels come in and out of vogue, and there's television shows about guardian angels, and many people are very interested to know, do I have a guardian angel? Well, it's something of an interesting question. I'm not completely opposed to the idea. There is some biblical support for it, but I'll tell you, you have something better than a guardian angel. Every one of us has a guardian God. How much more significant that God himself, it's really, he actually has not delegated it. Yes, he has angels about, and they are doing his will. We're grateful for their unseen help. But what we particularly have is we have a Lord who keeps us. He is our guardian God. That's the word that's repeated throughout this refrain. He is our keeper. He will keep you. The word means he will guard you. He will keep you safe. And we think of Jacob. It's just one of many examples. When he fled from his parents' house, Jacob's pilgrimage was because of his sin. And he's out in the wilderness. He's got his head sleeping on a rock as the only comfort. But even for him, because he was God's child, the Lord came to him. He said, I am with you, and I will watch over you. I will keep you. God gives us guardian care in the wilderness of this life. And he will do so until all the promises that he's made to us are fully fulfilled. We have, as pilgrims in this world, we lift up our eyes and our help is from the Lord. We have a guardian God. What a help that comfort that is. In a time of uncertainty, of distress, some people will be more anxious-ridden. Maybe all of us will be at different times. There's uncertainty. There's objective danger, particularly for certain of our people. The danger is real. But God is watching over us. He is keeping us. And he's able to do so because of who he is. He's the maker of heaven and earth. The reason why, ultimately, all the high places fail us is because they have the limitations of human frailty, human inability. People are, in many cases, they're very earnest. We rely on people and they let us down. In other cases, we trust people and they misuse us. They're not trustworthy. But you see, God is able to do all that he promised. And the psalmist goes straight to the top. How can he do that? Because he's actually the maker of heaven and earth. He has the power to do it, and the very universe itself, from the smallest particle to the most distant star, was made by God. This God is able to keep us. Now, Sharon was praying about the attributes of God. As Spurgeon says, this is why we need to know the attributes of God in times like this, because those are the hills that we really look to. And you think of all the omnis. How is God able to keep us? How is he able to actually preserve us and guard over us? Well, he's omnipotent. He is omnipresent. He is omniscient. And what that means is because of his infinite nature, God has his eye upon you, his watchful eye of a guardian, as if you were the only person in all the universe. Now, you are not the center of the universe. Neither am I. But God, because of his infinite nature, his omniscience, his all knowledge, his power, he is able to give you the whole of his attention. He's not missing any detail from our lives. He is able to save us. These are the things. And this argues, of course, that the more we know God, the more that we know what God is like, the more comforted we will have. How important at times like this are doctrines like the sovereignty of God. Suddenly it's not a matter for disputation on the internet. And philosophical art, God is sovereign. It is his will that's being done. It's important to know that. His faithfulness, his love, yes, his justice and his wrath as well. People want to make sense of these things. The knowledge of God is how we make sense of them, and they give us comfort when we are his people. He is the maker of heaven and earth. We may trust ourselves to him. Now, verses 3 to 8 talk about the vigilance by which he gives this protection. This is why we know he will not fail. Let's just look at these verses. Verse 3, he will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you, he will not let your foot be moved, is the first statement he makes. And here's the journeyer on the path. And I actually have one particularly bad ankle. It goes back to high school football. Both ankles are bad. One ankle is really bad. And I'd just be walking the dog and my ankle will give out. And we had one of our recent torrential downpours. I was walking my dog in a torrential downpour, and I really turned my ankle terribly. And I was, have this image of your pastor. I was lying in the street in water with the rain pouring on me, my dog standing over me, and a car is coming, and he did not stop. He didn't, at no point did he slow down. I had to get up and hobble off, and but here's the thing. While, yes, we fall in life, we can get the coronavirus. We might find ourselves in dire straits. But you see, the Lord, though, when it comes to reaching our journey's end, he's going to ensure that we get there. He's going to watch over us. And it's like he is at our side because he is at our side. And yes, in many ways we stumble, we fail, we are weak, we frail, we give out. But he goes on and says, you think of another place in the Psalms where he says, if he stumbles, the Lord will pick him up. Psalm 37, 23 to 24. If the Lord delights in a man's way, he makes his step firm. Though he stumble, the Lord upholds him with his hand. The Lord is at our side to keep us from failing, even should we fall, and to keep us from falling. Now, here's a line I particularly love in Psalm 121, starting at verse 3 and then verse 4. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. You see, nothing has snuck past God. God was never taking a break. You go, well, how did this happen? It wasn't because God was not doing his work as the deity, the providence overruling all things. He is always attentive. And so the picture is, you think of travelers again. The night comes and they stop their wagons and they've got to rest. Maybe they build a fire and they lie down. How vulnerable are you if you're traveling in the ancient world? But you see, you would hire guards to watch over you while you slept. Well, that's a picture for how we are. The Lord is watching over us when we put our heads down. When we wake up, he has been watching all the time. He is vigilant and present. Now, verses 5 to 6 make an interesting statement. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Now, we're talking about here the harmful effects of the environment in which we live. Very relevant to our times. In the ancient world, the sun would wear you down. The whole moon thing, by the way, there's a general belief, the Bible's not teaching it, but it acknowledges that there was a belief that the moon rays were detrimental to the mind and the spirit. Our word lunatic comes from luna. And so it's not only the physical effects, but the spiritual effects, and the Lord is protecting us from them. I think one of the big, great pictures of this is the Exodus, in the Sinai Desert, you can have temperatures over 100 degrees by day and have it below freezing by night. And so what did the Lord do with the glory cloud? By day, it would spread out. It would cover them. And they walked through the desert, and they weren't consumed because the Lord kept the rays off them. And then at night, it was a pillar of fire, both for light and for warmth. The Lord protects us from the effects of our environment. Well, then we see in verses 7 and 8, this is the cumulative argument, how we love these words. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. Other versions say, the Lord will keep you from harm. The word is literally evil. And this means that though bad things may happen to us, if we survive the coronavirus, it will be something else. We have car accidents that affect our lives very terribly. I think of one before I got here where a number of beloved ladies died coming back from a church event. They were hit by a car and they were killed. We have job collapses. We have financial things. There's a lot of things we're anxious about right now. But you see, what the Lord will keep is he'll keep the harm of it from you. He will keep the evil of it from you because he's going to give you eternal life. And should we die, our souls will go to heaven. And there is an eternal glory beyond the grave. And we have been forgiven our sins. And God has a way, we know he has a way, of making all things work for the good of those who love him. All things, good things, bad things. The Lord will take the harm out of it. Now, it doesn't mean we don't feel it. Many of us are feeling anxiety, and I think as the days start to mount up, it's going to get that way more and more. But we can say to the Lord, I know that you're working in this for good. Though something objectively bad is happening, you're going to take the harm of it from my life. Why? He will keep your life. The one thing you know is your soul is safe with the Lord. The Lord is safe from the Lord. He will keep your going out and your coming in, the whole of your affairs. That's a relevant statement today. When you go to the store, and we're going to have to go to stores, when we're not quarantined, the Lord is keeping us. He's watching over us. When we're stuck inside, he's keeping us. But he will keep your life both now and forever. Our lives are eternally safe with him. Well, let me conclude with a reference to the book of Esther, which I think is very relevant for us today. One in the coronavirus. One of the interesting features of the book of Esther, it's the one book of the Bible in which God is never mentioned. God is not present in the book of Esther so far as the text is concerned. And I wonder if maybe some of us, suddenly the comfort of God has dropped out of our minds. Something frightening has happened. Very unusual and threatening has happened. And suddenly, maybe we had a sense of God's blessing. Now we don't feel a sense of God's blessing. But you see, when you read the book of Esther, you find that though his name is not on the page, God is present all through the book of Esther. He's arranging the circumstances. He's causing a certain person to be in a certain place. He's putting words into people's mouths. He's moving in the hearts of people. And one of the books of the Bible, so notable in that it never mentions God once, the book of Esther teaches the providence of God, perhaps as well as any other book. Well, my friends, the same is true for us. We are going to look back on, I don't know how many weeks it's going to be. It would be nice if it was eight, particularly since we're one of the families with one of those weddings coming up. So we have things we're praying for. One of them is that, you know, we're 10 weeks out right now. But we don't know how long it's going to be. We don't know what the effects are going to be. We know we're going to look back. And if we don't sense God's presence in our coronavirus, our COVID-19 struggles now, when we look back, we're going to see it. It will glorify him if we see them now. By faith, let's be looking, even in the little things of our lives. One good thing to pray for is, Lord, just do things to remind us of your care. He will do that. I found that to be true. Let's know by faith and through his word that he's in our midst. He says, I never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, what can man do to me? God is my protector. Let's know that he's present. Even, and I would say to any watching this who say, I just don't feel God is there. No, he is there. Strengthen your faith through his word. We are going to look back and say he has done everything well. We lift up our eyes to the hills. Where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord, and he's the maker of heaven and earth. Father, I do pray spiritual comfort for your people. And I would pray the strengthening of our faith in time of need. I pray for parents with little children in the home. I pray that years from now, should you tarry, that the little children will say, I'll never forget the coronavirus. And I remember praying with my parents, and I remember they were not overthrown. And I remember there was hope. And when bad things did happen, we saw and felt the hand of God. Oh, Lord, let this be true. And we would pray for those who are perishing, not from a virus, but from the worldwide and universal infection of sin. Oh, Father, would you, by so many ways, always with your word, would you save many who are lost as they realize their need and turn in faith to the Savior, our Lord Jesus. We pray in his name, amen.